Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hope your Thursday's going well. Your opening day, they're underway on the north side of Chicago. It's early on, second inning, 2-1 Pirates. Kyle Hendricks allowed a first inning walk and then home run.
There's been some command issues for both pitchers. So
yes, it's very cold. Jock Peterson drove in the Cubs run with a bases-loaded sacrifice fly.
I still am trying to figure out how the wind can be blowing in strongly, in a strong fashion in dead center and dead left field. But in the gaps, it's blowing out. Like, how though?
But who said that? Who?
I'm seeing the graphic.
He saw a graphic on TV.
Twice I've seen it.
But then Jesse has said the wind is going left to right, I believe.
Okay. But I'm just going by what they're showing. They're showing the arrow blowing straight out and left and straight out and center, aren't they? Chris, did you see this? And then in the gap, the wind is blowing in and dead center and dead left. And in the gaps, it's blowing out, or in left center, it's blowing out.
I didn't see the graphic, but I saw someone put the flags on social media.
Yeah.
And they were blowing in.
Yeah,
from center.
That's what I've been expecting. The wind
Me
out
too.
Of the north.
That's, but that's why when I looked at the graphic and then left center in the gap, the wind's blowing out. I was like, how the hell is that possible?
Well, whatever happened.
Give me Tracy
with the wind.
Butler here, will you?
Yeah, the home run went deep into the left center field.
Oh, yeah, that was a no doubter.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubter. So, we were talking about should, like, Angels games be earlier? Is that better for baseball? Is it a better way to get the best player? Like everyone says, Mike Trout could be the greatest ever baseball player, but does anyone really tune in to see him? And is the reason because of West Coast, or is this just the nature of baseball?
Could be a little both. How about this? How about we split the difference, okay? Freddie tweeted as well, Freddie Huebner. I usually agree with @TomWaddle87, which, all right, Freddie, you and I see eye to eye. But you can't tell the Angels to start early for you. I'm saying you're asking them to start a little earlier for baseball. Let's not start it at 5. How about we split the difference? So the game is on here at 8 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock on the West Coast.
That's what I said. I said, would you be in favor of making Angels games a 6:05 start?
But they're not the national game tonight.
Right.
So if they were the national game, I could understand you saying, why don't you move it up? But then you also got the opening day national game that was canceled. So that was supposed to be the good pitch. So but the other thing is, they're going to play early this weekend. So tonight is 9:05. Tomorrow's 8:30. The next Saturday is 8 o'clock, and then they're on Sunday Night Baseball.
Okay, I'm just like, listen, I'm not following Angels the schedule for 162. I'm just suggesting.
Just worried about today.
I hear that's all I can, Chris. I'm gonna get hit by a car on the way home.
Hold on. Let's break this down. Waddle, Sylvie, when Waddle came in today, he was very tired. He's having some stomach issues. He only slept 3 hours last night.
Yeah.
This isn't about Mike Trout. This isn't about the
Angels.
Stop. This is about you not wanting to stay up past midnight to watch the White Sox. That's what this is about.
That is not true.
That's what this is about.
I can put aside my own selfish needs and also think about what's good for Major League Baseball.
You don't want to be in bed nodding off at 10 o'clock because you only got 3 hours of sleep.
That ain't true.
Because you got a rumbly tummy.
That ain't true.
Well, remember, look, the older you get, the more you complain about this. Remember a few years back when like the Hawks Nashville playoff game started at like 9 and Pat Foley.
He was pissed on the air.
He was pissed on the air and like, didn't he get fined by the NHL? Or did he have to apologize for it? Something happened, and it was an awkward situation. I was texting with Carmen, our other buddy Jeff, who used to work at the radio station. Right, he used to produce Bulls basketball with Carmen. This was like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and we were texting again about watching Bulls basketball at 9 o'clock. It makes you tired. I mean, not that the Bulls have been fun to watch these last few games.
I agree with what you're suggesting. Like, it's not a problem for the NBA because popularity is not a problem for the NBA. I hear all the baseball people moan and whine about how no, the kids don't watch it. And I'm trying to help you people is all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help.
Can I add something
to help is all I'm trying to do.
So to me, this sounds like a lot of this conversation is being worried about the kids, right? And the youth, right, Waddle? Like, that's what some of this has to do?
Well, I think it's about, I think it's about maximizing the exposure of your best player to fans of all ages, but specifically to those that you complain most about that they're not watching.
I would say this and suggest this. If you think the battle to get young viewers to watch baseball games is the window to when the game airs, I think you're already losing that fight. So, like, if a young kid is interested in what Mike Trout is going to do, they're going to find a way to get that highlight, to get that clip, to get that TikTok, and find a way to see Trout. They're not going to sit and watch a Trout baseball game starting at 7 Central.
Well, starting we're seven spots away from Mike Trout batting. Yeah, I'll just stay with the game.
You've already lost that battle. So, like, if the idea of the conversation is how can you grow the sport with young people, with stars like Mike Trout, like, you know, because, like, the thing I keep thinking about is you mentioned the West Coast. The best team in baseball is also on the West Coast in the same city, the Dodgers. But, like, if we rewind to, like, 10, 15 years ago, all we got on a national level was Red Sox-Yankees on the other coast.
Yeah.
And people bitched and complained about that, too.
Five-hour games.
Like, so to me, it's like, how do you get a star like Mike Trout and other Mookie Betts and other stars around Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge, consumed by younger people in an easier fashion? I don't think it is manipulating when those games are
based on
time.
You're assuming I'm telling you that's the panacea. That's the end-all, be-all. This solves all your problems. What I'm telling you is this a multifaceted problem, like most issues. Like, you could give me a number of different things that they could do differently to maybe highlight who Mike Trout is. I'm not telling you this is going to solve their problem. But, like, if you're the CEO of a company, you don't ignore one small way to make your company better because you've got other ways to do it. You do all of the things that are necessary to make you a company that is functioning most efficiently. So what I'm saying to you is like, maybe it doesn't. So you may catch the eye of one kid in Chicago who's watching his Chicago White Sox, and that kid recognizes Mike Trout and goes out and buys a Mike Trout jersey for whatever reason. Again, I'm not telling you it's going to solve all your problems, but I think when you're looking to fix things, that's why I'm for pitch clocks. I'm for a lot of things, and I don't think you're going to ever completely solve it, but if you address it or attack it from a number of angles, you're doing the best you can. And at the end of the day, you still may have the same problem. But at the very least, what you've done is you've investigated every single way to possibly enhance your situation.
I think Sylvie kind of nailed it, though. Isn't it more important for baseball to maximize that young viewer in the market that Trout actually plays in?
Right? Well, you're going to maximize them.
But Sylvie mentioned, you know, the start time for the Angels in Los Angeles. Like, they're up against it with the Dodgers. You know, and I know their market share is different based on who can actually watch games in Los Angeles, but, like, nobody is an Angels fan out there. It's only Dodgers. So, like, you're more concerned. Baseball should be more concerned about Mike Trout being consumed and being loved on the West Coast before they even worry about the flyover states.
I wouldn't just suggest to you that everything's hunky-dory on the West Coast or that it's ignored. My guess is there's more Mike Trout fans in Los Angeles than there are in other parts of the baseball.
Yeah, but there's probably more Mookie Betts fans in Los Angeles than there are Mike Trout fans.
There may be. What I'm suggesting to you is your home audience, your home fan base is already going to get a lot of exposure to that player. I'm just suggesting in a small way you could increase the national exposure for a player in a big market. Look, I'm not asking them to play 20 innings and let Mike Trout bat every single time and play the game at 4 o'clock Central time. Like, I just think that, you know, if you're Major League Baseball and you want to try to address some of these issues, there are maybe some small tweaks that you could use to try to, as you patch them all together, maybe make some progress.
You guys were bringing up the children, okay? I can only speak for this 49-year-old child, all right? I love baseball. You know how many Cubs games I watch a year?
Yeah.
This year, obviously, is the home of the White Sox. I'm going to watch a ton more Sox games. But when Mike Trout is on at 6, or Mike Trout is on at 7, or Mike Trout is on at 9, and if they're not playing my team, I don't watch. I'm a baseball fan. I work in the business. I'm not seeking any national baseball in the regular season.
Well, I just don't. And I think it's
I think that's the problem.
Well, you're right. It's a provincial sport more than any other sport. And it's a built-in negative or disadvantage. Again, I'm not telling you I'm solving your problem. Right. I don't think there is an answer. I really don't think that there – I think the truth is a baseball game for today's kids and today's young adults and for you, the dumb 49-year-old kid, like –
Did I say that?
I didn't mean that. Did I say that? I thought I was using your word. I apologize. Anyway, you're part of the instant gratification universe too, aren't you? We all are.
Of course.
We all are. So I just don't think baseball is ever going to really work in the environment we live in if you zoom out. Well, it just isn't.
How many of us or how many people listening to us are in the Twitch? Raise your hand. Bulls game. Past 10 o'clock last night. Where you're like, look, they don't have Zach. They don't have Kobe. They're probably going to get killed. I'm out. But what happened after that incredible block by Patrick Williams? If you watched it, you may have seen it live. If not, you got it on Twitter 5 seconds afterwards. NBC Sports Chicago, the home of the Bulls, were tweeting it out. It was being circulated. It was being retweeted. It was being liked. The world got the clip quickly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Some people would rather watch highlights than they would the games.
Right.
And I don't know if Major League Baseball's setup, do they still have such tight control of their highlights that maybe they don't disseminate them in a quick fashion? Is that correct? Adam, you were shaking your head. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, they do. They still have the issue of
not getting them out as quick as they should.
They're very strict about who can post highlights. They don't just let anybody post highlights.
Show everybody. Look, you could take it to a new level. You could say, look, here's the MLB Twitter page. I'm going to show you on our Twitter page or whatever. Here's Mike Trout's coming to the bat. Click on this link to watch his at bat. It's on right now. You know what I mean? Or something, the instant stuff, all the stupid rights and blackouts and everything like that. If Mike Trout is batting for the Angels and MLB can say, hey, watch Mike Trout's bat right now. Here's the link. He's coming up second this inning. Give you a 5-minute warning. Click on the link. Bam. And it's another way to... Instead of changing times,
right. Listen, I'm open to all of it. Dan's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm told he has a good, he's got a good comment here. Dan, what's happening?
How you guys doing today?
Good, Dan. Good. Happy opening day.
Yes, how about it? Trying to get home to watch the Cubs game, actually. Anyways, I have a 15-year-old son that is in competitive baseball, a baseball junkie. I'm in a fantasy baseball league with all his buddies. These kids, and I have the MLB package at home. He doesn't watch a minute of the games. None of them do. But they could tell you every stat, every player, because they all play the MLB, the show. And they watch every highlight. They know everything about Mike Trout. All these kids do. It's not that he's not getting out there. These kids don't give a crap about the game. They just want to see that player right now. You guys are hitting it on the head. I think the thing that you said, Sylvie, about MLB streaming Mike Trout or Rizzo or whoever, Tatis is huge in my son's age group. I just don't understand why MLB is so behind the times of that.
Tim Anderson's another player that I think is an exciting young player that I believe Major League Baseball should do even more trying to advertise him to the young baseball players.
I got an idea, too, coming up. I want to share this with you. I also want to get into the Sox specifically on what is enough this year, okay? Black, you've been very vocal about, hey, the Cubs only won one World Series in this run. I want to know for this year, is it World Series or bust, or could there be other levels of success this year for the White Sox? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Talk talking some baseball on opening day. The phone number to contribute is 332-3776. Welcome to everyone in the Twitch crowd, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You got any Sox swag on you today, Waddle?
I do. I would like to, I would like to put my my gear on display. I've got a brand new. This thing is fantastic. It's thin. It's comfortable.
Wait a minute. You're not wearing your Bears alum pullover?
He had it on over here.
I took it off.
I don't know if you'll want one, Sylvie, but we've been bestowed upon us White Sox Radio, home of the White Sox Radio Network.
ESPN Chicago, yeah. White Sox Radio Network. Yeah. I've got that. Wait a second. Oh, you want to zoom in? But then I got some. I think you also have to remain.
Look at that.
Even though we're the home of the White Sox, okay? Sylvie's still going to stay dedicated to his favorite team, the Cubs, right? And I'm still going to pimp the Cincinnati stuff as well. Like my Cincinnati shirt, Cincinnati, where cornhole and three ways are good, clean, family fun. That shirt.
My buddy.
Zoom in on this.
It's still zoomed.
My buddy Phil Vogel sent this to me. I've got my Cincinnati Reds visor on. Let's play ball! And I got my White Sox pullover on. I got my Padre underwear on, you know, brown in the back, yellow in the front.
30 years you've been using that shirt.
What?
30 years.
That's awful.
It's 30 years of doll every
awful.
Year.
That's awful.
That is the essence of an old man's joke. I learned it from my father. My brother used it for years, and now I use it.
It's even
day.
Better now because the Padres are back to those colors.
Absolutely. That's right, Chris.
It'd
Padre gets Padre underwear
Sylvie
on.
Sylvie would have said in honor of the Padres, he manscaped into the shape of a friar.
That's good, too. All kinds of baseball jokes. But, yes, I'm representing. Chris is representing. I'm representing.
I would wear that pullover. It's not
it. I didn't because I knew Chris was going to wear his, and I didn't want did you guys call each other?
Well, no. I wore it because of opening day, and I was hoping you would wear it. So I'm happy that Waddle is wearing it because, boom, teammates. Boom.
Yeah. Like, you don't what's wrong with you?
It's not like I'd be wearing Sox gear with that. I'm wearing ESPN 1000 gear. That's the home of the White Sox radio, is all that's saying.
Here.
It's not like I hate the White Sox, but I don't wear their gear.
Okay,
I don't flip and flop like the morning.
That's a shot. I'm saying to you, though, that also, there you go, put the swag on. There you go, the big Sox chain. But I saw your video, Sylvie. You've got a Cubs shirt on. You're representing your team.
Oh, yeah. Opening day, you have to wear.
Of course.
I'm still, my 2016 gear is getting old. You know?
It's a little dusty, old. Huh?
It's getting dusty. Yeah. It's getting some pit stains in it. You know, this is five
That's
years
a good
old
segue.
Now.
That was a really good segue from what you teased to getting through this Padre underwear talk into the topic that we were going to discuss. About your expectations.
Where were we going?
Now you've become me. You have turned into me.
Five minutes.
5 minutes destroys your train of thought.
By the way, why wouldn't MLB have like a red zone channel?
That's a good question. We were talking about that at the break. Yeah, they should.
Why wouldn't they? The NFL doesn't give a crap that they're sharing all of their highlights, even though your local game is on. They're not worried because it's all good for the game. Even if you have the rights deal here, it's okay if there's Gerrit Cole's on the mound and the bases are loaded and there are two outs and we got to go see if Gerrit Cole can get out of this jam right now. Let's go to Yankee Stadium. Boom. All right. Here we go now. Now we'll go to the Angels. Mike Trout is up with second and third. Let's go see what Trout does. MLB Network should be that every single night.
Now, you're right. You may not get as many hits because there's 162 of these games.
But
I'm with you. And I think the fact that I'm going to make an educated guess or a slightly educated guess that there is a financial component to the reason why you can't get the Major League Baseball highlights the way you can the NFL and the NBA. And it's for whatever reason, because there's no other common sense reason other than there's a financial component that benefits the 30 baseball teams by not showing you these highlights immediately.
I will say this, in defense of baseball, They do have the best wrap-up highlight show out of any major sport. If you watch Quick Pitch each and every night throughout the baseball season, Quick Pitch on MLB Network is the absolute best highlight package show you can get, where you get everything
on television,
single game. Like, I'm a huge NBA guy. The NBA show is not even close to what they do on Quick Pitch. The NFL, it's not, you know, it's almost at, what's the show?
The NFL
that
got rid of it. Don't you remember, where you had Boomer and TJ?
It's on ESPN Plus now.
Right.
That show, what they do with Boomer and TJ, that type of thing, Quick Pitch does that every single night.
Yeah, they should.
So, like, baseball does have a great highlight recap. It's just not in real time.
Yep. Yeah, okay. All right, Black, I phrase this towards you as a Sox fan. Abdallah, are you considered a Sox fan now? What are you now?
Listen.
So now you're no, because look, this is bigger than baseball, some of the stuff that went on in the North Side. You are officially out on the Cubs,
out,
or are you
done,
rooting for both?
Dead,
so you're
buried,
done.
Done. Buried.
You're now a Sox fan.
No, I mean, look, I grew up a Sox fan. My dad and I went to playoff games. We went to postseason games in 05.
Then you flipped to the Cubs?
No, I mean, I was there. The party was there. What am I going to say no to a party?
Did you used to bring the briefcase to the Cub games?
No, White Sox games.
White Sox games?
Yeah, they well, I mean, listen. I mean, my dad and I couldn't get in with a briefcase to anywhere. Let's not get it twisted here.
We experienced that in Kentucky Derby, didn't we?
Yeah, I can't get anywhere holding luggage. Come on, man. So no, I mean, listen. I enjoyed a party. What am I going to say? No to a party?
I don't blame you. Party's you were young.
Fun. Party's fun.
You were young. I get it.
All right, so what are your, Black, what are your expectations? What would constitute a successful season?
Making the playoffs and getting past the first round.
All right. So,
you know, a failure to me would be a White Sox season where they don't make the playoffs. That to me would be a failure.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know what? Do you guys tell me how? I've always said this to you guys. Tell me if you agree or disagree. I'm being too hard or too soft. I think that if your team can, the goal is to compete for the ALCS or the NLCS or the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship, if you become one of the final four, that to me is a successful season, because professional sports are really hard to win consistently at a high level.
So you're saying a league championship berth is the measure of success for you?
I would say for the White, yeah, my expectation
for the White Sox this year.
That may be an aggressive, like, the Cubs in 16 and 17, and they won the World Series in 16, but the Cubs were kind of there for, like, didn't you feel that if the Cubs didn't get to the NLCS, it wasn't a successful season at that point? Like, that's kind of where I'm starting to trend with the White Sox. I may be a little early for that, but that would be my goal is like, look, it's hard to get to the World Series. It's hard to win the World Series. But as long as your team is competing for the right to go to the championship series, that to me will always be a successful year.
Right. Like when the Cubs had their run in 15, and then they were poised for 16, and they acquired Hayward and they acquired Zobrist. And I think they added Lackey as well. I said to myself that it is now World Series or bust. You got to the league championship in 15. You haven't won in so long. You know how good Arrieta is. You know you have Lester. You know you have this team. It is World Series or bust. And they delivered. Is this the year for the White Sox, or do some Sox fans still believe they're a year early? Are they a year early, or are you measuring this year as it's World Series or it's a busted season?
So
I polled the question on Twitter, by the way.
Okay.
It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. It's early. We have only about 700 votes. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. And 49.4% say yes, it is World Series or bust.
I think I would probably side with what Chris said right now with the Sox team. Because as thrilled as you are, remember last year, it was a very odd year for a lot of reasons. We were just looking at this at one of the breaks. You remember, like, they were leading that division, and then they lost 7 of their last 8 games, and the Twins ended up winning. I love everything they've done. They're, I mean, it's a really... Are they ready to compete in the ALCS? Gosh, I hope so. But I may suggest into the postseason and win a series, that to me, I think I would probably say would be a successful year for the Sox.
I'm pretty, I think, vocal in thinking that this, if you suggest that it's World Series or bust, you're an idiot. Like, that's my stance on this.
Why is that?
What are you talking about? World Series or bust? We're not the Yankees. We're not the Dodgers. I mean, and I think, Sylvie, how we got to this point is we were talking about the Cubs and the assessment on their run after 2016. But the reason why, to me, it's a bit disappointing is the way it kind of fell off so quickly. And also, if we go back to the 2016 season, they were the best team in baseball, and we were also suggesting that they were one of the all-time great best teams in the history of the sport. You see what I'm saying? So, like, we all kind of projected out that this growth, that they were going to be this great for a few years, and that's why there's disappointment. Now, if the White Sox, 80 games in, look like the 2016 Cubs, then I could be persuaded that we should get towards that World Series or bust. I don't think that's the type of season this will be.
It's not World Series or bust, and I think the reason it's, like Chris said, ALCS or bust is the team's spent. Whether they spent a lot or not,
That's what I want to ask you guys next.
They spent. When you
Did
go out
they
and
really?
You get the best available closer, and you add a starter to your rotation. You have all the bats.
Yeah, but you did have an opportunity to bid on.
Okay, but they're the
Bauer,
White Sox. They don't.
Bauer,
okay, but they, don't you had do, a... they don't do that. That's okay, not what but, the White no, Sox
but
have ever
they?
Done.
Well, I know what
that's
they did.
That's neither here nor there. I get that. Yes, should they have? Maybe.
But
you can't say they spent.
They just spent the way the White Sox normally spend.
They spend the way the White Sox have traditionally spent money.
That's not spending.
How they spend. That's how they spend.
But that's not spending.
But that doesn't make it right, Abdallah. I mean,
I'm not saying it does. What I'm saying is the traditional way the White Sox have spent their money happened this season. This was their
we're going to go out and get a big closer. The Padres spent money.
Okay, that's great.
But the Padres didn't usually spend either, Adam.
But now they spend. The Dodgers won and they spent.
Yeah.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. So what are your expectations? Do you just want to see more progress and you want to see the core get better? And if they don't win it all, you're judging. Like, I believe I judge them in windows. That's how I believe if this group doesn't win a World Series, then it's a failure. I don't believe it's World Series or bust for this particular season. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We'll take more of your calls next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Here's a good tweet from Jim. He's listened to the show for many, many years, many cities he's lived in.
Did Jim Lexa?
Yep. Jim Lexa's a good dude. He's a mail carrier, I believe, now in the Buffalo area.
He's a good man.
Great guy. He said the 15
sent
Cubs.
Sent me some hot sauce.
What's that?
He sent you some hot sauce?
Sent me hot sauce.
Oh, from Buffalo?
For your wins?
Yeah, it was really good.
Nice.
He said the 15 Cubs won two playoff rounds, setting up 16. The 20 White Sox won one playoff game. Let's see the White Sox win in the postseason before declaring World Series or bust.
You know, I think that's fair. I think Chris is, you know, where you set the expectation level is, I think, Sylvie, you were the same way. Win a series and kind of build. And then the expectation level will build.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of nuance here. Like, I used to argue with Cap about, remember the year that Cleveland won, like, 20-some games in a row? And he's like, look, you could win all those games in a row. If you don't win it all, it's not successful. I mean, or it's a failure, I think, is the way
failure
he termed
is what
it.
You, a there, major failure.
Right. I think there are different levels of success.
Take that.
And I think if Giolito continues to go up and show you how great he is, and if Moncada bounces back and Tim Anderson for the third year in a row shows you that he's still a stud and Aloy comes back from the injury.
And how about Cease proves to you that he can be a valuable part of your rotation?
And Robert grows in his second year after an up and down first year. Like, there are so many. Okay, then if you didn't win it, but all those things happen, then I think you still say to yourself, look, we're still on a great track. We are still right in the heart of our window. We need to make some tweaks, but we had lots of successes this year. I think baseball, there are degrees of successes every single year.
I agree, and I look back, and listen, I'm not a Cub fan, as you are, but like I think when you go to the NLCS three out of 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And
three
straight years, and you win the World Series. I mean, like, you went to the Final Four three straight times.
Right.
That's a pretty damn good run. I know you wanted to win more than one World Series, and I know that a lot of Cubs fans thought that you were going to win more than one, but you found out how hard it is to win more than one. You know the last time the Yankees won a World Series?
What year was it? Was it the back-to-back years?
No, they won three in a row. They won 98, 99, and 2000. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2009 the last time they won a World Series, right?
Well, with Girardi, right. That's when with Girardi as their manager.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
That's 12 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I know. Tim in Lincoln Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Timmy. What's up?
Hey, guys. I agree. World Series are bust. Big Cubs fan, by the way. Not a Sox guy. But I don't agree with the free agency hate this year. They're not done. I think they definitely make moves this year and add some bats to line up with Eloy out. But I think the Sox just didn't need to go out and sign a Trevor Bauer or make a move for a Yu Darvish or the lefty from Tampa Bay, Snell, that the Padres got. You know, I just think that their lineup is so deep and so good. They're going to have a great bullpen, solidify with Hendricks. Got a great starting rotation. They added Lynn. You know, they've got, like you mentioned, Cease, as well as Giolito in there. They're just so good already that I think they just wanted to put the finishing touches on this. You know, you'd hate to get into a big contract with a guy like Bauer and have it end up, preventing you from signing one of these young guys in the future that's going to be a part of your core. So I don't know. I think they did a great job, and I'm excited to see how good they can get, but certainly envious.
Yeah. All right. Good call. Thank you. Like, I don't know if Lynn's got 1 year left. Now, he's cheap for this 1 year. Right. He's 33. Is he going to be as good as he's been the last 2 years? And then is he a part of your future? A lot will be determined to see how Kopech comes through this and how Cease comes through this, because then if they develop, now you've got four really good pitchers even without Lance Lynn.
I think Rick Hahn said to us too, like, listen, they were moderately involved in free agency because they wanted some of their young guys to get this experience.
The hope rolling it forward would be Crochet and Kopech are a part of the starting five.
Right.
You know, a year from now, 2 years from now, when, Sylvie, you say that window is open for a championship.
Right. Like 5 years. You expect the Sox, and they signed all these guys, too. Like Robert signed, Aloys signed. They want to sign Giolito. That was a conversation. He's not up till 2023. Now is the time to attack that. But what I didn't like what they did in Wright. I think. When you do in right what you did, and now especially it's accentuated with Aloy's injury, because now in both corners you're suspect. And I what is Eaton these days? Like, that was the big move. You're going to platoon Eaton and Engel, and now you've got a hold of, and you know there are going to be injuries in a 162-game season. I would have liked something better and more a part of the core in right field this offseason.
I think that's a fair criticism.
Eric in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Waddle. I'm a huge fan. I've been watching you since I was a kid on The Final Word, man. Huge fan. Anyways,
thanks, Eric.
I think we need to temper expectations. You know, they're still a really young squad. I obviously want them to beat up on the division, which will not be easy to do. But I personally want them to obviously win the division championship and make it to the ALCS. I think that's very fair expectations, like not overly, you know, overzealous and stuff, you know? So,
I mean, I'm with you, Eric, in terms of tempering the expectation for now. I think Chris said it. I think, Sylvie, you agreed with it as well. I mean, like, look, if you think that it's that they're poised, they may win the World Series, but are you really expecting them to win it right now? But there are so many questions that still need to be answered. Sure. They all look like good decisions. They all seem to be guys pointing in the right direction, but you still have question marks.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But I think last year you had 16 teams in the postseason, all right? So making last year's postseason is different. Mm-hmm. Now it's shrunk to 10. It's the same as it used to be for those who are not. It's the same two wild cards. They'll play in the first round, and the division winners, you know, wait for the winner of the wild card. Then they go to the DS. And I
think you're going to earn your way in this
year. Yeah, if the Sox make it in, then I think you can. There are levels of success, and then we'll see how they navigate whatever postseason run they're on.
And this under the playoff standings last year, but applying this year's format, they right. would have still made the playoffs.
Right, yeah. right, right. Of course. Of
like
course.
If everything hits this year, they're definitely a World Series threat.
Yeah.
Like if Crochet, you know, in his second year is
hiccups with Kopech.
Right.
That's
Kopech,
a big one.
If Cease builds on the progress he made this spring,
Andrew Vaughn.
If Vaughn delivers. Mm-hmm. If Moncada bounces back from a down, you know, COVID affected 2020 year. Like, I mean, if everything hits this season, yeah, they're as good as anyone in the American League, possibly. But that's a lot to ask for every single thing to line up that way.
Ryan in Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. Yeah. Thanks.
I wasn't listening too far earlier, but you were saying, like, how it's obviously World Series are bust. And I completely agree. And Waddle, you were saying, like, if everything hits, you know, they're going to be good, obviously. But this Eloy injury is a lot bigger than people think. That's at least 30 homers, 100 RBIs. His exit velo is the best in the league. It's like, that's a big injury. So we got to have Lurie Garcia step up huge, obviously, and Adam Engel. And those are the two guys. And pitching, I mean, yeah, we bolstered the pitching, like all the names that you were saying earlier. But obviously, that's going to hold up. But I'm worried about the hitting, the most part, especially losing Eloy's bat. So I'll hang up and hear your call.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I heard the guys today, they were asking, you know, they were going through the different, you know, scenarios, who in the city, and then combining both teams, who was going to lead the city in home runs. And I think Meller and Carm both said, hey, if Eloy was healthy, that's who they were going to choose.
Yes.
I mean, that there's no question. That is an enormous loss.
But they're hoping he's when? Back in mid to late August? Is that what it is? 5 to 6 months? What is that? April, May, June, July?
I think the latest. I mean, listen.
Wasn't there a report that he may be back?
That he may be back.
Yeah. So if he's back in August, you're happy, aren't you, for the last 60 games?
Plus rehab, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah, last 60 games. Like, Sylvia, you're right. The important part is if, in a playoff series, if he's healthy.
Yes.
And playing well.
Absolutely. 332-3776. All right, we've got the great clips. Great clip. It's a good one. And there is one former NFL player who claims that he was bribed at Boston College. Did Waddle get the same treatment? We will play that coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so we have Kyle Hendricks out of the game on the north side. This is what Paul Sullivan tweeted. He said, Hendricks threw 103 pitches, 74 strikes, in a complete game shutout in last year's opener on an 80-degree night at Wrigley Field. He threw 63 pitches, 38 strikes, and 3 innings in this year's opener on a 36-degree afternoon at Wrigley Field.
I read Jesse's tweet as well, and I believe he mentioned that, wasn't this the first time he's walked a batter in each of the first three innings in a couple of years? Like, I don't think that that's something that Kyle has done in a long time, where he goes three consecutive innings by walking someone.
No, you usually get better, but again, like he's been a notoriously slow starter when the games have started in April. So we'll see if he can break that trend. 3-2 right now, fourth inning. Pirates with the lead over the Cubs. Let's get to Damian Woody. One of our listeners, David, gave me the heads up on this, so hat tip to him. It was on the Ringer podcast with Ryan Russillo and our good buddy Ryan. He had Damian Woody on. I think the theme this week has been college recruiting stories, or at least the theme of the pod. So Damian Woody was talking about how he was being recruited by three different schools, Michigan, Virginia, and BC. And BC was his third visit and the final visit. And they went to one of the bars that's no longer open.
Marianne's?
No, but Marianne's did get a mention. This was a club, more, and Damian Woody said it's closed now, and that they actually ran into a bunch of Patriots, and they hung out with a bunch of Patriots that night while he was just a high school senior being recruited. and there were a bunch of girls and stuff like that. But that's not where we go with the story.
Oh, okay.
The story goes to the bribe. Damian Woody admitted that he got bribed to attend Boston College, your Eagles team, Waddle, that you played at. And Damian Woody then eventually did play for. Take a listen to this story on Ryan Russillo's podcast.
Welcome to The Greatest Clips on ESPN 1000, presented by Great Clips.
A booster came up to me at a little luncheon, and he just started talking. He was like, man, I heard a lot about you. A lot about you. And as he was saying, I heard a lot about you, he put a little envelope in my jacket. And I, you know, I just tried to play it off because my mom was like right there too. So I didn't want her to like start tripping. So I went to the bathroom. I look in the envelope. Dude, it was like a lot of money in there. I'm talking five figures up in there. Five figures. And that sealed that, all of that just sealed the deal for me. I'm like, I'm in. Where do I sign up at? I'm in.
My first response is like, I didn't even know we had boosters.
Really?
Like, I mean, Damian's 10 years younger than I am. He's right. A great player. But I'm trying to think who was the coach and who was part of that staff at that point. Like, that I'm more than a little bit surprised at that.
That's over 10 grand, right? He said,
yeah.
It's five figures.
That surprises
it's
me.
It's at least 10 grand.
I'm not suggesting he's not telling you 100% truth. I'm sure he is. I'm just telling you that surprises me. I don't think I met a booster. Like, I swear to you on all of my children's lives and their health.
The power that is Moeller.
Dude, I was 5'11 and 170 pounds, and like everyone recruited me because they thought Campy, my quarterback, Mark Camphouse, was going to follow me. He did.
He did. So yeah. See?
I didn't get anything, brother. I would tell you, I did not, I was not a very like sought after recruit. Like, I could have gone to all the MAC schools. I couldn't have gone to Michigan State. I told you that story. They only had one scholarship per receiver. Yeah. I could have gone to North Carolina. I could have gone to Vanderbilt. Could have gone to Purdue.
I get I joked on the on our little Twitter, not Twitter, text message thing that the booster came up to you and he said, I've heard a lot about you, Waddle. And he handed you a Coors Light and put it in your pocket.
And that's probably the extent of it, although I didn't meet any boosters. Like, I mean, when I got there, it was the year after Doug Flutie. So Doug Flutie's senior year when he won the Heisman was the year leading up to me going to BC.
That's the golden era. There's got to be boosters then.
There really? Yeah, no. Not really.
No boosters?
Now, I will say, like, that year, they signed three of the top five quarterbacks in all of the country.
Now we know why. And now we know why.
I did not get offered anything.
Camphouse
nothing.
Didn't give you a commission.
Camphouse was a top five recruit in the entire country, and he didn't get offered anything either.
If you head to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, Waddle has winked about five times.
I have not. That's a lie.
Which is weird.
Lie.
The pulpit
you know what happens
lie.
To
which
kids
is
that
weird,
lie?
That you'd be
really?
Winking.
Are you being honest? Or
as
you
long
not
as you
being
paid
honest?
It forward to Woody.
Are you
that's
being
good.
Honest or are you trying to be fun?
I'm just saying, as long as you paid it forward.
I did not. I'm not winking. I may have a twitch.
Are you sure Camphouse didn't get money?
He did not get money. He
Are
may
you
have
sure?
been. He may have been offered. Like, he was recruited by everybody. He was recruited by Penn State. He was recruited by Ohio State.
Someone in the Twitch chat wants to know why you took a pay cut when you joined the Bears.
I'm just telling you, I did not. I would tell you 100%. Why would I lie?
I got to look at the coaching staff, who that was at that time, too. That is
I think the
good
coaching staff, it was probably Tom Coughlin at that time.
Ooh, that makes it even juicier.
I would think. Maybe not.
Do you think, did Woody play for Coughlin?
Woody came out in the 99 draft. He was a first-round pick coming out in the 99 draft. I don't remember what year he went to BC.
All right.
But I'm going to check. I'm going to see who the coach
was. Let's investigate this. Okay. Coming up, and thank you to Great Clips for the Great Clips Great Clip highlight of the day as we find out whether or not Waddle was bribed to go to BC.
You found out right now.
No, I told you.
I did not get bribed. I did not get anything.
What years of college paid for that fountain in the front of your house?
Oh, not enough with the fountain.
I mean, he's so mad right now. I'm not mad. I don't get mad. He's as red as that hat.
That's because I have high blood pressure.
Do you have to turn the fountain off today because it's in the 30s? But it was
it's
on.
It's not on yet. I can't turn it on until like
it's good weekend
May
to turn
1st.
It on. It's going to be
on
the
this
70s.
Weekend. Yeah.
No, it can't because then things will freeze. If it gets under, you can't do it. You got to be above freezing for an extended period of time.
All right, coming up next, let's go to some football. According to Todd McShay's latest mock draft that debuted today, the Bears get themselves the quarterback of the future. Who is it? We'll tell you in 2 minutes.